some questions here. We're sitting out here in New Rotterdam, and we'll start with Bhaktin Emesha, who quotes the second canto when Srila Prabhupada says there's eternally liberated souls and eternally conditioned souls, and she's worried that, well, if she's an eternally conditioned soul, then that means she's never going to be able to attain liberation and go back to Godhead, because she's eternally conditioned. So, no, here we need to qualify the use of the word eternal. It doesn't mean forever in the past and forever in the future that we're condemned to be conditioned. However, it means that we've been conditioned for such a long time in the past, it looks like forever. But by the power of devotional service, we can become liberated and go back home, back to Godhead. And really, only by the power of devotional service will that happen. So no, we're not condemned to stay here in the material world. But we can't stay here as long as we neglect the process of devotional service. And it's only once we take that up with all seriousness to actually become free from the clutches of the material energy. So don't worry about that. Emesha, and here's Atmarama Das, and he says, I'd like to move to some place like Mayapur or your farm, where you could associate and serve devotees. What should I consider? Well, a lot of things are involved, but two main things come to mind. The first one is, how is someone going to live? If I use the example here of New Rajadam and Shidam Mayapur is equally isolated, could even say even more so, although more densely populated, relatively. But here in New Rajadam, we have a small village next door, and there's not much opportunity for work, or very limited opportunities for work, either in the village or here in New Rajadam. So how is someone going to maintain themselves? That's the first point. How are you going to live? If someone's independently wealthy, if they're already retiring, and they have some nest egg to live off of, then that's fine. That at least addresses that concern. The other is more the personal, social, spiritual aspect. How will one actually really integrate in a community, especially in a community that's of a different language, as would be in Hungary, and also a different culture. Then there's also the values by which a certain community works, and the rules and principles. They have their own constitution. So the devotee needs to become familiar with both of these aspects, and therefore my recommendation and our principle here in New Rajadam is that we always invite people for a trial period, 2 months, sometimes 6 months, living in a village nearby, and get an idea of what it means to actually live in this environment, to associate with the devotees, to be engaged in the whatever limited engagements are available. One thing is sort of the romantic idea of, all right, let me just head off and live out in the country, and something else, what happens and what that entails when you go there. Usually in your mind's eye, you don't see things like, very basic example, mosquitoes. But there are mosquitoes, especially in Mayapur, there are mosquitoes. So that's part of the reality. And there are many more realities than just mosquitoes. So better give it a try. And once both the local managers as well as you really think that, yes, this is something that could work, then you could consider taking it further. Okay, in Bhakti Jenny is asking, or Bhaktin Jenny, I don't know, is asking here, Bhagavad Gita 12:12, where Prabhupada is talking about a person who practices a process that makes one understand themselves as supreme, and that kind of meditation is superior if someone can't engage in devotional service or engage in one's varnashram prescribed duties. There's not much given about that, and it's not really a recommended process anymore in this day and age. But practicing spiritual life is always better than not doing anything. So whether you're meditating on yourself as being qualitatively one with the Supreme, Ahango Prasaka, I meditate on myself. It's a selfish type of worship, but still it will bring one in contact with scripture and saints, give us a certain type of self-discipline, and there's every chance that one can progress forward. In this latter part of the 12th chapter, Krishna gives many alternative types of engagement for self-control and self-purification. He starts with the highest, spontaneous devotional service, then he talks about regulated devotional service, then giving up the results of one's activities and austerity, penance, and so on and so on. All as alternatives of decreasing ability. In other words, this person's not able to do the first thing, then he does the second, not the second, the third, fourth, and fifth. So this is also an alternative. However, it's not an alternative that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has approved of any longer. This was 5,000 years ago. People in Kali Yuga are very misguided. They tend to become easily distracted. And the natural progressive system of the Vedic way isn't really functional. So what did Lord Chaitanya recommend? He recommended that everyone just chant Hare Krishna. And by chanting Hare Krishna, whatever state of perfection they're at, they have a common activity that they're performing. It's a purificatory activity that guides and directs people forward, and it's spiritual, whereas some of these activities like being charitable and so on are not really spiritual activities, and one can very easily become distracted by them and hung up by material activity. So therefore, in Krishna consciousness, we give everyone the same formula of chanting Hare Krishna, but that will be applied differently according to their level of advancement. Well, if you can't chant 64 rounds, chant 16. If you can't do that, chant 4. If you can't do that, chant 1. If you can't read Bhagavad Gita for an hour a day, then at least read a verse, and so on like that. And that way, the natural purification of the heart takes place, and one just becomes more and more deeper involved in the same process, rather than going from one discipline to another in a series of steps which people can no longer find in this age. So that's it. Tomorrow I'll speak a little about our upcoming Bhuchu, which is our fair in New Rajadam, starts in 2 weeks from now. And for devotees who are planning to come, either those in the surrounding area or even if you're not planning to come, if you're at a distance, then I'll give a few ideas as to how one can participate, who they can get in contact with, and so on. It's by far our biggest preaching event of the year, and at this time of year we rely as much as possible on hearers to participate. Hare Krishna.